And we are on the phone, as promised, with David John, the CEO of War Memorial Hospital. Good morning and Happy New Year to you, Dave.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you as well, Mark.
So here we are in the new year. We've finally got through 2020, which I know for the hospital has been, for lack of a better term, just a certainly a challenging year for the hospital.
Yeah, it has been. Lots of uncertainty, lots of ups and downs, and from a point where in mid-March to May we didn't know how we might be able to survive with the shutdown, as everybody in our community was worried about, and then to being able to ramp back up and by the end of the year have things in place where we did pretty good, and we just hope to control the spread of the virus and reduce the number of positive cases and deaths in our community as much as possible.
We'll get to where we are right now as far as cases, but I would imagine for the staff and everything to kind of turn the page to 2021 to kind of get that behind them and maybe feeling like there's a little more light at the end of the tunnel has to be, I would imagine, for especially the people that are dealing with this right there on the front lines, has to be a little bit uplifting for them.
Yeah, it's a new start, or it seems to be a new start, a fresh start, but that could fade away pretty quickly if we see some more surge in the virus. We're hoping that doesn't happen, but it just wears on you when there's no end in sight, and the new year happened to be a day where you could at least have a new view of things. And in these next couple weeks will be really important to everyone here to show that we've made hopefully some progress.
I know that after Thanksgiving it was a couple weeks before we saw whether or not we were going to have a surge, and it didn't sound like we were anticipating maybe more than what we had, which was good. Now we're back to back, bang bang, two holidays, Christmas and New Year's back to back to wrap up the year. Are we starting to see any uptick from, probably too early, obviously, for New Year's, but from the Christmas holiday, any increase in cases in Chippewa County?
Yeah, we definitely are seeing increases, and we usually go week to week because we do these interviews every week. But in the UP, from last Monday to this Monday, there are a total of 458 new cases in the entire UP. In Chippewa County, had 154 of them, or 33% of the new cases in the in the UP. So there's a significant increase. What we're worried about is when you see those increases in outpatient testing, usually the trend is a 7 to 10 day lag of people getting admitted to the hospital who are serious. And we're starting to see a little bit of that. We had two new admissions since midnight. We're up to 11 COVID patients now. We were down to 5 or 6 at one point last week, so we definitely are seeing an increase. Today, I'm sure, will be crazy busy at the drive-through because we haven't had it open for Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
We're concerned, the rest of the UP is faring pretty well, but they got hit pretty hard. In the beginning, in the early fall, where we didn't get it until October, but now we're seeing a steady increase, we hope people protect themselves and that doesn't get too much of a surge at this point.
And I know we can't go into specifics and everything, but are these cases that perhaps were directly related to family gatherings at Christmas?
Well, we see a lot of that. We see that, the virus spreads really easy in close places when you're around people. And so a lot of people who have been admitted to the hospital are husband, wife, or from the same family or that sort of thing. Mm. Obviously, in the drive-through line, you see a lot of people who have contact with each other. So it's a pretty simple equation, don't have close contact for long periods of time with anybody outside, your family, and for those family members that go out and about, make sure you know, they're not that they're wearing masks and doing all the things that we know will help prevent the spread of the virus.
So what's our window that we should be looking at here as far as when maybe we might see the end of any increase from the holidays? Is it still another week or two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the you see figures from the University of Michigan, that sort of thing, that says they'll, you know, the climb of positive tests will go through till like, you know, January 21st, and then you'll see a precipitous drop in that. I mean, I hope that's right. That means, you know, we have about two and a half weeks to get through here. And I know some of that is in relation to the holidays. I think some of it we'll see the impact of the vaccine and more people getting vaccinated, which will help prevent the spread of it. So, you know, I think these next 3 weeks, if we can get through them and everybody does what we're supposed to be doing, that we'll see a drop after that.
One of the things that I've noticed, and we're talking to David John, CEO of Orr Memorial Hospital. Dave, I've noticed that, and I don't know if it's just because I'm more aware of it now, but I was in the store just over the weekend, and I'm seeing more people not wearing masks. And I don't know if and I guess my concern is that if people have had COVID and they've gone through the process of having COVID and they've recovered from it, would they then not have to wear a mask? Because I'm wondering if these people maybe have had COVID in the past and they think, oh, I'm free now and I don't have to worry about the mask anymore. Is that what's happening with those? I don't know, obviously specifically, but if somebody does have COVID and they've gone through it, would they then not have to wear a mask after that?
That's not the recommendation. You know, whether you've had COVID, whether you've had the vaccine, you still need to practice social distancing, wear a mask, those type of things, because first, just because you have COVID doesn't mean you won't get it again, because, you know, they think somebody who had COVID may have a 60 to a 90-day immunity period there, but there's plenty of examples where people who have had COVID, like in Italy, where it was the big hotspot to begin with, are now getting it again. There's new strains that are identified all the time. So even if you've had COVID, you should still be wearing a mask, even if you've had a vaccine, because, you know, the vaccine gives you really good protection, but it's 95% protection, not 100% protection. So, you know, I think, you know, what I'm hearing most experts say is that masks may be here to stay for quite a while.
Okay, well, that's good to know, because again, it's to me, it's weird now to see a person out in public that I don't know not wearing a mask, because I mean, I'm not used to seeing my wife not wearing a mask. I'm used to my coworkers here in the hallways when I see them pass by the window here at the studio not wearing a mask. We're wearing masks in the hallway, but to you know, to see somebody that I don't know all of a sudden in the store wearing a mask, it's almost a little bit alarming. It's like, why aren't you wearing a mask?
Right. Well, and I know, you know, the rules are you're supposed to wear a mask when you're going inside stores, and I know a lot of stores are good at enforcing that, but you know, some don't want to get into the discussion and have a flare up with one of their customers.
Mm-hmm. So, I know you just said that there's 11 cases now in the hospital. I'm reading. I know that we've had more than that. What was the max you've had so far of inpatient COVID patients there at War Memorial Hospital?
The max was 23.
Okay.
You know, last week, you know, let's say if we go back to pre-Christmas or just after Christmas, we had the day after we had 7, then the next 2 days we only had 5, and then on the 29th was 6, the 30th was 8, the 31st was 12, then it went down on the 1st to 10, then 9 the last 2 days, and now up to 11. So you definitely see an increasing trend there. We did also have another death from COVID on the 31st, so I think that's either the 5th or the 6th death at War Memorial Hospital from COVID. I know in the county, I think they're up to 13 or 14, maybe even a little higher than that. But those are people who have passed away within 30 days of being diagnosed with the COVID virus.
And what's the max patients that you could take for COVID, and what that you would be all of a sudden maxed out as far as beds are concerned at WAR?
Well, in the ICU, we have six beds, but that would mean there wouldn't be any beds for anybody else that has other conditions that need ICU beds. And then on our, if we opened up one whole floor to COVID, I mean, we could get probably 28 to 32, but then it's an equation of how much staff do we have. Physical space, we have plenty of physical space, but what we don't have is plenty of staff to take care of those patients. Hmm.
Is there any currently of the 11 in ICU right now or not?
One of the 11 is in ICU and 10 are on med surge.
Okay. And I know that last week you mentioned that you went ahead and vaccinated some of the residents there in your long-term care unit, and it was 30. And talk a little bit about how, I know that initially it was supposed to be CVS that was supposed to go around and vaccinate all the long-term care patients in the state had set up that. You were able to because of the extra dose in the vials from the Pfizer vaccine, had some extra doses and were able to vaccinate the long-term care units. Just talk about how that happened and how that came about and what kind of hoops maybe you had to go through to make sure that happened.
Well, you know, we got our vaccination. Hospitals got their vaccination first before anybody else, and you know, the plan was that, you know, long-term care residents in the state would be taken care of by either CVS or Walgreens. Obviously, CVS and Walgreens can't take care of long-term care residents if they don't have the vaccine or the doses. And from what we were hearing through the channels we listened to, it was going to be 4 to 6 weeks before Walgreens or CVS had their doses to be able to come out and vaccinate the residents. So, you know, because we got 975 doses and there was an extra dose in each vial, you know, we had 195 extra doses. It could easily, you know, cover the long-term care residents. They're the most vulnerable of anybody that we have in our organization, and we felt it was prudent to go ahead and vaccinate them. You know, at the same time, you know, we're vaccinating our frontline workers. We do have extra doses. We're working with the health department to vaccinate others. They got 200 doses, but used them up pretty quickly. I know both the Sioux Tribe and Bay Mills Tribe have gotten doses, and they're using on their members, tribal members. You know, so we're somebody that has some extra doses, and so, you know, we've worked with the health department. Some of the people that were left off the phase 1A list or didn't have, health department didn't have enough vaccine to vaccinate our healthcare workers at the MDOC, the prisons out in Kinross. So we got most of them in Thursday and today to give them their vaccination. Also, mental health care workers and substance abuse health care workers in the community weren't being vaccinated because there wasn't enough vaccination for them. So we've got them in today as well. Chaplains were added to the mix of phase 1A. You know, we don't specifically have a hospital chaplain, but what we do is we allow any minister, priest, leader from local churches who have a member of their church in the hospital and is at end of life to be able to come up and give last rites, those type of things. And so we've reached out to the health department to say, hey, you know, any of those individuals could come in and get vaccinated now because we do have some extra doses. And, you know, the state tells us they want all of our doses used within 7 days, so, you know, we don't want to send them back. We want to go to that next step in our community. And, you know, once phase 1A is done, then we move to phase 1B, which the hospital, unless we keep getting extra doses, if we can, we'll keep getting them and help share them with the health department. If we can't, then it'll be pretty much all in the health department to do phase 1B, which is essential workers like police, teachers, prison guards, that sort of thing, and any individual in the community that is 75 years old or older. You know, we're meeting actually right after this to go over what our plan is going to be and how we can get access to the most vaccine and get it out in our community the quickest way. There's obviously logistics problems, with the vaccine, and, you know, if there's a way we can work with the health department, because we have the ultra-cold freezer here for the Pfizer vaccine, and we have the pharmacists here that can thaw and mix the vaccine and do it right on our campus, that would probably be the most efficient, but we don't have the staff to do that, so the health department would have to send over staff to provide the immunizations. But I think we'll be able to work it out. The key is, you know, like the state says, we want as many shots in the arm as we can get as fast as we can get it, and you know, that's what our goal is. If we have vaccine, who's up next? Who's next in line? Who wants to get the vaccine? Let's get it done.
Where are we at as far as, have you gone through all the staff that wanted to get the vaccine at the hospital so far?
As of last week, the end of last week, we've administered 511 vaccines. Also 31 long-term care residents got the vaccine. So, you know, 511 out of 850, 900, you know, we're probably, when you take those 31 long-term residents off that total, we're at 480. So, you know, maybe we're right about 50%, maybe a little over 50%. Not everybody who can receive the vaccination has agreed to get the vaccination.
Right.
There's still a lot of, you know, a lot of information out there from a scientific perspective and then from a social media perspective that are kind of making people think whether they should get it or not. I can tell you just from pure science, the vaccine is going to give you 95% protection, and there's very little chance of side effects. And if you do get side effects, they're minor, like a sore arm and maybe a low-grade fever, maybe some fatigue for 24 hours, that sort of thing. But there's been no severe complications. And, you know, when we're, even though, you know, in the federal government they wanted to get more vaccinations out, if there were all these complications or side effects, you'd be seeing them and it'd be news reports all over the place.
Sure.
That the vaccine is causing these side effects, and you don't see any of that. So that kind of gives me a little bit of confidence that what they're saying is actually true, because you're not seeing any of these complications at this point.
Have you gotten yours yet, Dave?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to wait.
Yep.
Until everybody else got theirs. But, you know, one of the strategies, too, is at the end of the day, you know, when you have one more vial with six doses in it and you've only used four, we don't want to waste any vaccine.
Sure.
So, you know, we had kind of like an on-call list for people that aren't they're hospital employees, but they're not necessarily at the front line, because we'd rather give those people the vaccine and not waste any than to have two or three doses go to waste.
Right. So
I did get mine, and my only side effect was the arm was a little sore for a day, but I get that way when I get the regular flu shot.
Yeah, that's when Sharon got hers, that's the same thing she said. It was basically the same as getting the flu shot. Her arm was sore for a little bit, and that was it. So, I guess anything else you want to add? We kind of ran through the whole thing there again, but I feel sometimes like we're just, you know, repeating the same thing, but I think it's important that people hear it and know that what's going on, and know that we're still, even though it's a new year, we're still in the same state and battle and everything, and we've got a ways to go before we get to the end.
Yeah, and you know what I would say is a couple things. First, you know, the second doses will be starting this Thursday for the people that are, you know, 21 days into their first dose, and you know, we've heard from the trials that the side effects can be a little bit more with that second dose, so we'll have to see what happens there. But I would look at it like this, you know, right now it's in our power to get vaccinated and to reduce the spread of this virus, and summer isn't that far away. And, you know, if we want a summer where the restaurants are open and people can play a little league baseball and do the things that they want to do, it's all up to us to do the right thing now to make sure that virus doesn't spread. We get vaccinated so that even if the virus is still around, that we can be around other people. But you know, the chance of you know, the new life with the COVID virus not including mask wearing is probably pretty limited at this point, because you know, it's definitely helped, and certainly has helped flu A and flu B. We see almost none of flu A and flu B, and we should be right in the heart of flu A and flu B season right now. So that another piece of evidence that the masks and the social distancing and the hand washing does prevent the spread of viruses.
Well, it's again, let's hope that this week we don't see a big increase from the holidays, and we'll hopefully kind of just stay the course through next Monday. We'll hopefully have some good news from you next week as well, Dave. We appreciate, obviously, your time and everything that's going on at War Memorial Hospital, and we'll look forward to getting your update again next Monday.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Stay safe.
Yeah, you too, Dave. Stay safe, and thanks, and Happy New Year once again. David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital, joining us here on 1230 WSOO.